Welcome to episode 138 of the Sports Geek Podcast. On this week's episode, I chat with Zach Monette about pro cycling and diabetes.
Welcome to the Sports Geek Podcast, the podcast built for sports digital and sports business professionals.
And now, here's your host, who has hit the game-winning shot exactly three times, Sean Callanan.
Thanks, DJ Joel. You are listening to the Sports Geek Podcast on your favourite podcast platform. And you've left a review, right? You have. I've asked enough. Thank you to those who have. There's over 106 iTunes reviews worldwide. It's the only one where I can actually aggregate all the reviews. Every other platform, if you've left a review somewhere else, thank you very much, but I haven't got any tool to go and pull those reviews from everywhere. So 106 is my number at the minute. If you haven't left a review and you're not one of the 106, please go do that now. sportsgeekhq.com/iTunes. That will take you to the Apple Store and you can leave a review. Much appreciated. My name is Sean Callanan, and you are listening to the Sports Geek Podcast. You can find me on most social platforms as at Sean Callanan. And if you so wish, you can send me an email and give me some feedback. And I love listener feedback. Sean@sportsgeekhq.com will find me. This week's guest is Zach Monette from Team Novo Nordisk. And I love chatting with, and this is not meant to be denigrate or put down, off-Broadway guests, because Zach is managing digital for a massive fan base. But when I say off-Broadway, I'm talking about people that are outside the professional team, sports professional team space. So I'm lucky enough to talk to a lot of you that are listening and a lot of you that are working in the professional team space and running digital and collaborating with commercial and getting results from a sports team point of view. But in this case, and this is why I sort of mentioned Zach as off-Broadway, he's working with a pro cycling team, which is not, you know, in mainstream media. And so you get a feel for what it's like to run very similar function, produce content, tell the message, storytelling, creating heroes of athletes, a lot of the similar things, but with a different environment, different support. Than a professional team environment. So here is my chat with Zach Monette from Team Novo Nordisk. Very happy to welcome Zach Monette, Senior Digital Media Director from Team Novo Nordisk. Welcome to the podcast, Zach.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me. I'm a huge fan and I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's always great to, one, have people who are listeners of the podcast on the podcast, and also have people that I've met. We met at a Seed conference and been chatting about what you do. Tell us a little bit about Team Novo Nordisk for people that don't know and probably haven't heard about it before.
So we're a professional cycling team, but we're the world's first all-diabetes pro cycling team, which means that all of our riders are living with type 1 diabetes. And that's the first team of its kind. It's the first team where all of the riders are living with the same condition. And so a lot of people, when they're diagnosed with diabetes, they're told that they can't pursue their dreams and they can't do sports. And our team is going out there showing that that's not the case. We're showing what's possible. For example, like half of our riders on our pro team were told they couldn't ride their bike. One of our riders was told he could only ride his bike a mile. Which is obviously not true because he's riding 200 kilometer races all year long.
Yep.
And so, so our team is out there to inspire, educate, and empower everybody affected by diabetes.
So you've got the professional cycling team. You've also got some triathletes. There's a few sports in there, but everybody on the team has diabetes. I've looked up the stats. 387 million people across the world have diabetes, and your team is there to inspire them to say, yes, you can exercise. It is a method and a really effective method to treat diabetes, and really inspire that everyone who is both either has it or is affected by it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you mentioned our triathlon and elite teams. So our team is spearheaded by the pro team, and then all of the other teams are kind of going in to support that pro team, because our ultimate goal is to put riders with diabetes into the Tour de France by the year 2021, which is the 100th anniversary of the discovery of insulin.
Okay.
And we hope by doing that, that we'll change the face of diabetes, because I think it's like 3.5 billion people watch the Tour de France over the 3-week span. So for a cycling team, that's the ultimate platform, and that's where we're going to have the biggest impact. And so our whole organization is kind of geared toward making that happen.
So give people who might not, you know, people would understand when you say Tour de France, give us a bit of background on the pro cycling scene. How does a team get into the Tour de France? What do you have to do from a qualification point of view? How are you going to go about doing that by the goals that you've set at the minute?
So the Tour de France is kind of like the Super Bowl of cycling, and the top 24 teams ish, top 24 ish teams get invited to the Tour de France. So our team, we're currently a pro continental team. There's continental, pro continental, and then there's pro tour. And yep. Our team is a pro continental team, which means we're kind of like in the minor leagues.
Yep.
But cycling is different because the minor league and major league teams compete together and against each other several times throughout the year. And so we're trying to create that squad of riders with diabetes that can compete on a world tour stage and hopefully get invited to the Tour de France by 2021.
So it's similar to if we take a tennis analogy, if your team gets the rankings enough, you can get a wild card or a seed into the Tour de France, but you have to put these results on the lower level and on different tours around the world.
That's exactly right. And so the results obviously are the main driver, but the story of the team and also the awareness of the team can also play a factor in getting an invitation. So the fact that we have 5 million Facebook followers could be an asset in achieving that goal. But ultimately, it will be the results that are going to get us there.
Yeah, so you mentioned that, and congratulations on passing, you know, 5 million Facebook fans. Your goal and objective is very different to a lot of my guests. A lot of the guests we talk about, you know, cheeks on the seats and TV ratings and selling merchandise, really strong commercial outcomes. Whereas you're almost in the not there's no almost about it. You're in the cause marketing space where you're pushing the message of, you know, healthy exercise, how you can treat diabetes. How do you get that mix right of here's the message to inspire, but also taking some of the best practices from pro teams and different tours of that sports marketing and journalism? How do you get that mix right?
Well, as you mentioned, a lot of sports teams, their ultimate goal is the cheeks in the seats, and ours is to provide maximum value to our sponsor. And our title sponsor is Novo Nordisk, who is a big pharmaceutical company based out of Denmark. And we provide awareness and we provide inspiration to all of the millions of people that follow us. And that's how we provide value to our sponsors. So the more we can quantify the lives that we've improved, the more we're showing value to our sponsor. And so in order to do that, we've tried to take inspiration from how other sports teams kind of align their strategies to put the cheeks in the seats.
Yep.
And see if we can apply that to how we deliver inspiration to people and how we inspire and hopefully change lives.
And the thing is, you're really pushing, I mean, because it's a global play, it's, you know, you're pushing your message out to the world. You are pushing like a lot of the big EPL teams and things like that are pushing engagement in all these markets. So because you're not trying to drive someone
you know, to a stadium 24 times a year or 82 times a year or 12 times a year. You're actually trying to just build and grow that audience, inspire people, engage them, have those metrics to go back to your sponsor and say, this is what we've done. But that's you're going with that fan engagement and inspiration piece first, rather than, you know, normally the first cab off the rank is we need to still make sure we're getting these commercial results. So your go-to move is always to inspire, engage, because a lot of your fans are probably diabetics first and athletes second or fans second or third. Would that be the case?
Yes, in a lot of cases. And so as a cycling team, we change our stadium with every race. Like sometimes we'll race in the mountains. Sometimes we'll race in the desert. We just finished Tour Dubai. Sometimes we'll race in Brazil. Sometimes we'll race in France. And so it's the experience is different for every location. And most of our digital audience will never see our team race in person. So what we try to do is we try to make that experience as engaging on digital as we can for those people who will never see our team race.
So covering a global tour, logistics must be a nightmare. How do you, from a digital team point of view, what are the resources in place? Do you have to travel with the team? How does it work from, you know, when you're in, you know, one week you're in Dubai and then another week you're in Brazil? Are you racking up the frequent flyer miles? How does that work from a digital team point of view?
Well, that's been a challenge for us. We're kind of a small operation. And so we've really, really tried to make that experience as good as possible at the different races. We, for the first couple of years, it was just me. And so it was kind of feast or famine. If I was at a race, I would be able to
cover it
live, and I'd be able to, capture video and things like that. This year we've added two full-time press officers, and they're going to travel to every race, and they're going to be able to provide more content, and we'll be able to try out things like live video and Snapchat, which we've not been able to do because I'm not able to go to a lot of the races. And as you know, you have to be there, you know, and so we're really looking forward to take advantage of some of those new things.
And so does that give you a little bit more, like you said, that feast or famine mode of, and you know, a lot of the pro teams have had that where, you know, the social coverage at home game is really good, but the social and digital producers aren't going into a way to game. So it's a different, it's the consistency's not there. Now that you've got some press officers, at least capturing some material, taking a few more photos, capturing more video, are you seeing a little bit more consistency in what you're delivering in each tour, where it's not just dependent on whether you're there out on the course?
Definitely. We've had it's been a challenge for us to capture enough video to stay competitive with a lot of the teams that have, you know, full-time traveling press officers. And we haven't been able to really dive into things like Snapchat or even be consistent on YouTube. Like we have 5 million Facebook followers, but we only have about 1,000 YouTube subscribers. So there's a real imbalance there. And I'm looking forward to having more content that's going to be able to allow us to balance out those other channels.
And the thing is, you have to do all the lifting as a team. There is no, you know, if you look at the MLB and the fact that Major League Baseball is covering the game and providing a lot of resources across all the teams, the NBA does the same. There is no overall organizing body that's making sure your message is getting amplified. It's all based on your team in a pro cycling sense, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of inconsistency in how teams approach digital media. Some teams really dive in and try to take advantage of it, and some teams don't seem to be as interested in it. Our team, with our message, it's kind of an essential piece of what we do. And so we've kind of dived in head first.
So you've mentioned it before with Facebook being the 5 million, and it seems to be, you know, that the hub of where a lot of your fan engagement is coming from. How do you, as a, you know, as an American developed team, but you've got this global mission, you don't have this hometown support, again, to drive people into the crowd. What are you finding over the past, you know, 18 months, 2 years, what are you finding that the content that is best resonating with your fans?
It's the stories of our athletes. Like I said earlier, about half of them were told that they couldn't compete as pro cyclists living with diabetes.
Yep.
And they're out there proving that that's not true. And so the more we can showcase that, the more our fans respond, and the more our fans kind of see themselves and see, like, you know, why can't I do that? If these guys can do it, why can't I? So the more we can kind of showcase the personality of our team and the stories of our athletes, the more our fans respond.
I mean, and that is, you know, straight out of the sports marketing playbook of making heroes out of your athletes and amplifying their message. And the fact that you've got this really strong story, and as you said earlier, it's that story and the amplification of that story that's going to be really compelling when, I'm assuming, there's some sort of committee at the Tour de France, when they're looking at all the teams and they're saying, why should we bring these, why should we give Team Novo Nordisk a wild card? It should be, well, here's the story. How much are your athletes getting more and more involved in the digital space? Are you seeing them using, you know, we're seeing more athletes using Instagram a lot, or they might be starting to use Snapchat, or are they tweeting backwards and forwards with fans? What kind of platforms are your athletes gravitating to, or are they? I'm on the bike, I'm concentrating. Do you get a mix out of your 18 riders and your wider athlete group?
A lot of the guys are really into it, and so those guys who seem to have a passion for social media, I kind of try to groom them and give them some pointers of ways to engage with fans and to help build a personal brand and also leverage the team. Some of the other guys who aren't as into it, I try to encourage them, because they are the story, and obviously the more we can leverage them, the more success we'll have at spreading our message. The younger riders, as they come up through the ranks, we've found that they are kind of already groomed. Like, they're kind of seeing, obviously, you know, digital is their world.
Yep.
But one of our first year riders this year, he already has like a Facebook page with 5,000 likes, and he has his own like press officer and all this stuff. So we have these little digital experts coming up through the ranks, so it's interesting to watch.
And it's going to be it's going to be a challenge, but it's also a really good opportunity, because, as you said, you know, like many sports organizations, stretch for resources and stretch for channels. You can only have so many channels that you're publishing content on, but if you can then have really engaged athletes that are using these channels, it sort of makes your job a little bit easier to spread the message. If they're amplifying their story and amplifying your content, it's just another channel that pushes your content out.
Absolutely. And we have an unspoken agreement that I could just take their pictures and post them on the team's page. But I tag them and I make it worth their while. But they are a great source of content, and they're on the ground, and they know how to tell the story. So yeah, they're the best source of content.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, one of your KPIs and in what you need to do for the sponsor with Team Novo Nordisk. Before you were came on board as a sponsor, you were the Type One. Was that the name of the team?
Team Type One.
Team Type One. Sorry. So what was it like going from a non-sponsored team to a sponsored team with Team Novo Nordisk?
So Team Type 1, we were also sponsored by a pharmaceutical company, but we didn't have their name in our name. When we became Team Novo Nordisk, they became our naming title sponsor.
Okay.
And so that brought a lot of regulation and a lot of challenges that other sports teams don't have to consider, because when their name is in our name, then our marketing materials are seen as their marketing materials, and they are obligated to watch them, which means certain marketing aspects are under the jurisdiction of the FDA. And so that kind of is different for a sports team. And we had to figure out how to navigate that and how to honor that and to manage that risk, but also to compete as a sports team. Pharma moves very slow.
Yep.
And sports is all about real time. And so We made a lot of progress over the past couple of years to do our best to function as a sports team while honoring the farming regulations. And Novo's been a great sponsor. At the end of 2017, they're going to take a step back, and our team is looking for new like-minded sponsors. And if anybody has any interest or tips or wants to chat, it would be great if they could send us an email at sponsorship@teamtype1.org.
And we'll make sure that, Zach, your details are in the show notes. If anyone wants to reach out and connect with Zach, you can do so. What I want to do is finish off with the Sports Geek Closing Five. Do you remember the first sports event you ever attended?
It was a Bulls Magic exhibition game in Tampa, Florida. And I think it was the first season that the Orlando Magic, when they debuted. And my friend and I ran down to the tunnel as Michael Jordan was coming out and actually touched his head, like leaned over and touched his head. And later that night, my friend and I went back and we were shooting baskets in my driveway, and I was like on fire. I couldn't miss. I had like the magic of MJ.
Yep.
But unfortunately, it wore off.
It's very much, I think there's a current NBA ad where a young kid puts their hand out and gets a high five from Stephen Curry and then doesn't wash their hand for 3 days, I think. So it's very similar to that. I'm sure Michael Jordan loved people touching his head as he ran off the court. I'm sure you weren't the only one. Do you have a favorite food that you've consumed at a sports event?
I've been to the Tour of Denmark a few times, and they have Danish people love hot dogs, and they have really good hot dogs at the Tour of Denmark. The hot dogs that go inside the bun,
yep,
like the little tube, and those are terrific. So I always look forward to getting those.
Terrific. And the first app that you open in the morning, what's your go-to app first thing?
I probably check out Apple News first, and then after that, I look at Pocket Cast, which I discovered thanks to listening to your podcast, what new podcast I get to listen to that day.
So that's actually going to lead me into an extra bonus question. What are some of the podcasts you're listening to? That's one of the things I always ask people when after I've installed Pocketcast on their phone. I then ask them what else they're listening to, because I love finding out what other people are listening to, because I'm always looking for new podcasts to put into my listening role.
Well, I love Sports Geek, obviously.
I wasn't pandering to that, Zach, but I'll take all the praise. What else?
I'm looking at my list here. I actually like listening to podcasts about Star Wars. It like passes the time easy. Social related, I like to listen to, I like the Social Pros podcast. I don't think they've posted in a while, but.
Is that the Jay Bear one?
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. Scrolling down. I like Social Media Marketing with Michael Stelzner.
Yep. Have you listened to, and it's not directly related, have you listened to The Moment with Brian Koppelman?
So, I have not.
So the Brian Koppelman is the guy behind, he wrote the movie Rounders with Matt Damon, and the current show he's doing at the minute is Billions. Which I think is on HBO or Showtime. Again, I don't get these channels. I just watch the shows. So he interviews entertainers, entrepreneurs, authors, just around their backstory to try to find their moment when they got it, when they started figuring it out. There's some really good ones where he's sort of sat down with with guys like Jay Altucher and Tony Robbins and. Those kind of guys. Really interesting. If I want to give my brain a bit of nourishment, it's a really good podcast to listen to. Which that's my who you should follow. Now I'm going to ask you, who do you think Sports Geek podcast listeners should follow and why? Someone that's in your realm that you want to give a shout out to?
I think people should check out our photographer friend Brian Hodes on Instagram. He's at Velo Images, VeloImages. He takes a lot of great pictures from his travels around the world, and yeah, he's just a great guy to follow on Instagram.
Definitely, we'll put Velo images. We'll put a couple of his posts in the show notes from an Instagram. And last but not least, what social media platform is your MVP? I'm not accepting co-MVPs. You must pick one. What's your go-to MVP social media platform?
Well, for our team, it's got to be Facebook. We have 5 million followers. And I hope Instagram and maybe Snapchat can rise to the challenge this year.
Terrific, terrific. And again, congratulations on passing the 5 million Facebook mark. That's a massive, massive milestone.
Thank you.
Last thing, where can people connect with you on the internet?
I'm at Zach Monette, ZachMonette, on Twitter. And you can find me at Zach Monette on LinkedIn.
And, of course, you can find you with that same handle in the Sports Biz Slack. So if you're in the Sports Business Slack community, please send Zach a message and tell him that you've heard him on the podcast. Zach, thank you very much for coming on the podcast and look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Shaw. You too. Thank you.
Sign up for Sports Geek News at sportsgeekhq.com/signup now.
Thanks again to Zach Monette. Please give him a follow on the Twitter, and you can follow and chat with him in the Sports Biz Slack community. If you're not part of the Sports Biz Slack community, you really should be. Simply go to sportsgeekhq.com/slack to sign up. Over 700, and I think 720 we're getting up to now, sports executives in the Sports Biz Slack, all sharing what they're doing and asking questions and getting some value out of it. Absolutely love what's happening in there. One of the things that was interesting in the interview with Zach was the evolution of team coverage. You know, Zach is definitely following the trend that we've seen in the professional ranks, moving away from that feast or famine. Do we have the resources there? If we don't, we don't get coverage, and we only do when we have people there. In that resourcing only allows us to have staff on hand at most events. And so that's definitely been a trend in the professional scene, that as the appetite for content continues to rise, it provides better consistency from a storytelling ability point of view. And the metrics definitely show that the fans want that coverage. So it's a bit of chicken or egg. And I know a lot of you would have struggled with fighting for more resources, whether that's simply more resources overall, but also more resources at away games and having people on the ground to be able to take some coverage, because that's what the fans expect. And the stats all bear out that it works out. It's a very much, if you build it, they will come. If you produce that content, you will get the views, you will get the increased visitors, and from that, the commercialization and the commercial benefits come from branding opportunities on content and that kind of thing. So I think it's a really valid case study, and it's something that we do a lot of at Sports Geek in helping digital teams justify new resources to produce more content. Because it is a case of more content, fans love it, they consume more, there's opportunities that those assets will drive more revenue with commercial partners. But it's very much a chicken or egg. Oh, we want more resources to do this more content, someone has to pay for it. The brave teams, and it is, the brave teams are putting those resources in place, knowing that those results will come and that commercial reality will come. So please use the fact that Zach is adding people, adding press officers to make sure be there, in the same way that you can use the growth of teams of previous guests, like talking to Arsenal and how their team has grown, to talking to going back to listening to Peter Stringer about his starting out his team at the Boston Celtics with putting a camera on the shoulder of an intern. It is very much if you double down on content and the consumption rises, then you've definitely got commercial assets that can bring in revenue. And so that's it's a really important point. And then I think the other part of it is making sure that as a team that you're best representing what that value is, even if it doesn't have a sponsor. So then you're starting the internal dialogue with your team that says, hey, we're producing this value internally. If it gets sold, this is the value that we would present to a sponsor. Doesn't matter who that sponsor is. It's just a matter of producing assets that, one, the fans want, and then you're providing a conduit for your sponsors to those fans. So, yes, follow and connect with Zach. Send him a tweet. Tell him you've listened to the podcast. I'm very appreciative of all my guests that give up their time for a short chat with me. Last thing before I go, if you're in Melbourne, the tickets for the digital business event that we're holding on March 2 at Docklands at the National Australia Bank building, they are going really well. So if you're in Melbourne, you haven't got your ticket and you want to learn a little bit about what's happening in the marketing space at an enterprise level in corporate land and what they're using and what they're doing and what you can learn, I'd love you to support this event. It's a Chunky Media event. We've got some great panelists from Optus and Roadshow to discuss what they're doing in the marketing space and where their mix is, how digital is playing a bigger and bigger part of what they're trying to do. But really the main part of the event is the networking, connecting people. And so both Steve and myself will be making sure that anyone who does turn up and they want to meet someone that is there, we'll make sure and try to make that connection, because we really do believe that there is a bit of a dearth of really good business networking events at that corporate level, and that's what we want this event series to be. So if you go to digitalbusinessevents.com.au and you can register for that event, it's a free event. I'm looking forward to getting a lot of people in that room and looking forward to it on March 2nd, Thursday night at 6 o'clock. It will be a good event, and you'll get to learn something, and I might even have a few snippets of the event on a future podcast. Until then, my name is Sean Callanan, and you've been listening to the Sports Geek Podcast.
Like the Sports Geek Podcast? Find us on facebook.com/sportsgeek. Check out which teams work with Sports Geek at sportsgeekhq.com/clients. Please leave a review on iTunes. Go to sportsgeekhq.com/iTunes. Thanks for listening to the Sports Geek Podcast.